Despite a lot of efforts, gender differences still show up in education. Girls do not show as much interest in the STEM subjects as boys, STEM being science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So the University of Oregon threw another acronym into the mix, SPICE, and that stands for the Science Program to Inspire Creativity and Excellence. It's all about getting girls in middle and high school excited about science and related fields. We'll try not to call the participants the Spice Girls, but it's probably inevitable. Here's the program director, Brandi Todd. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello. Thank you.
It's good to have you here today. Tell us about the birth of Spice, if you would.
The birth of Spice is kind of self-serving. I work for a research center that does very fundamental optical research, which is hard to explain to the public in a meaningful way, and we were looking for a way to fulfill our sort of broad impacts outreach requirement that our sponsors like to see. So one of our directors said, hey, I've got a couple of daughters. Let's do a science camp that's designed to encourage girls to do science more. And it was really sort of a one-off thing. And they came to me and they said, hey, Brandi, you can run this, right? And I said, you know I'm terrified of children, right? And they said, ah, it's fine. And that was the Optical Science Discovery Camp, which it's targeted girls, but we actually had a mix of boys and girls that year. And surprisingly, despite none of us knowing what we were doing, it worked. The kids liked it, and we had fun. So that's where it all started, and then it grew into the SPICE program over time.
Okay, take our hand and walk us a little bit into what Optical Science Discovery Camp was about. What sorts of things did the kids learn?
We did a lot of stuff around trying to bring optics into your normal, ordinary life, trying to, you know, in a really connectable, visceral way that you could experience, understand how, you know, that the white light that we see around us all the time is actually made of different colors of light, and that you can mix it in different ways to get different colors of light. And we did that through making what we call cereal box spectrometers. You basically take an old CD, break it in half, and jam it into a cereal box, cut some holes in it, and put tape in places, and you can actually split out the light that you're looking at on the CD, because it's got all these wonderful gratings, and see the components of light. So that was a sort of thing we did. But we sort of took it two ways. One was, let's use ordinary materials and our regular environment to explore light. And the other was, let's go down into the basement where we have complex optics setups and play with those as well. So they got sort of the you know, free form you can kind of do at home stuff, and then the stuff that you can really only do at a research lab.
I can't wait to try the trick with the CD. I'll have to look for directions on that.
Oh, yeah, just cereal box spectrometer. Google it. You'll find it.
Okay, sounds great. Brandi, how underrepresented are women in sciences?
It depends on the discipline. So if you look at something like the biological sciences, women are pretty well represented, especially at the lower levels. Although if you look at, like, you know, tenured professors at universities, women only make up about 30% of that. And that's the discipline where things are the rosiest. If you look at something like engineering, women at the top levels of those careers are between 8 to 12%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can anybody figure out why?
Well, that's what I've spent many years doing. That's what my doctoral research is about why and what can we do to counteract it. And the interesting thing is if you look at kids up until about the age of 10, boys and girls both love science. They, you know, most kids will say that if you ask them, they'll say, like, yeah, science is fun. Science is cool. I really like that. And then when they hit the middle school years, a lot of kids, not just girls, boys as well, really begin turning away from science. But girls particularly more than boys, and also other underrepresented groups, you know, kids of color, low-income kids, kids with disabilities tend to get more turned off. And what my research really focuses on is that middle school is this real time when we begin building identity and really making hard decisions about, like, I am this, I am not that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the decisions that kids start making, that particularly girls start making, is that they don't identify as scientists. The social messages, the stereotypes, the ways we tend to teach science in classrooms really sends a clear picture to girls that science is not something that's consistent with a traditional girl's gender identity.
Which raises the question, how much peer pressure is involved with keeping girls out of science education? It sounds like there's a fair amount of it.
Yeah, and it's subtle. You know, it's not, especially this day and age, I do find it's, I find many optimistic things. I go and work with kids these days, and they don't seem to have any notion of being a science nerd being bad. You know, when I was a kid, you didn't want to be too nerdy. You know, if you were too into science, you weren't cool. It's cool to be into science, you know, in general, but what it isn't is necessarily very consistent with the things that girls are being told and trying to emulate as what constitutes being a girl, which is being collaborative, being interested in helping people, being, you know, social and likable. And the stereotypes we have about scientists are that they're kind of, you know, they're old white dudes, fuzzy hair, with, you know, bad hygiene, questionable social skills, and these aren't attractive really to boys either. So you'll see a lot of kids will say things like, "Oh, you know, I like science, but no, I don't really think of myself as a scientist."
They're afraid they're going to end up looking like all the people with all the traits you just mentioned. Brandi Todd's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the director of the SPICE program at the University of Oregon, which stands for Science Program to Inspire Creativity and Excellence. Your phone calls and emails are welcome in this discussion at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Particularly want to talk to people who might have been discouraged from going into science fields of either gender. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So, SPICE, was the acronym a happy accident?
No. Well, yes. So I was sitting in class. I'm a full-time administrator here at the university, but at the time I was in a master's program for public administration, and we had these late-night classes. And I was kind of bored in my class, and I was emailing back and forth with my co-director, Miriam Deutsch, professor of physics here, and we were trying to come up with a better name than Optical Science Discovery Program. And so we just kept emailing acronyms back and forth, and most of them were ridiculous. Some of them were, I mean, frankly, offensive because we were both really bored. But she first proposed SPICE, but she said, well, it's a shame. It's such a good acronym, but we can't do it because everybody's going to think of the band, the Spice Girls. And the funny thing is, though, the girls who participate in the camp have no idea who the Spice Girls are.
Oh, sure. That's right. Yeah, 20 years ago.
And then the other interesting thing was is a lot of our instructors we pull from undergrads here at the University of Oregon, and many of them were little girls when the Spice Girls were popular, and they loved it. They actually would say, like, I get to say that I'm a Spice Girl for the summer when they're teaching science, which to, you know, us old fuddy-duddies was like, oh, my God, why would you ever want to call yourself a Spice Girl? But it worked out really fortuitously. The instructors love it. The girls didn't even know that there was any other association. So I guess it was a happy accident that we almost didn't have.
Sure. But it ended more of a blessing than a curse, it sounds like.
Yeah. It hasn't ever been a problem.
So talk about the programs you offer in SPICE. I mean, there are some during the school year, some during the summer. Is that right?
Yeah, we're focusing on the summer camps right now. We do have some other, we sort of spun off another program where we do academic year stuff because that was getting sort of away from the focus on girls, and it was good because it was bringing science to kids, you know, all over the community. But so we made a sort of a science on demand program for that, and then the SPICE, primarily the camps happen in the summer, and we have a cohort based program that we've sort of grown into because it was interesting. The first year that we made it, sort of the second year of the camp was the first year that we made it like, really, no, this is a girls' camp. And that group had so much fun that they kept emailing me all year and saying, hey, Brandi, you know, when do I get to come back to Spice Camp again? And I said, well, you don't want to do the same thing over again. And they said, yes, we do. So at the last minute, I'm like, okay, let's make it cohort-based. We'll do two. And so we threw together a forensic investigation camp that those girls came back and did. And then we had a new group of girls who did the optics camp. And so today we have three cohorts. We recruit girls just graduated from fifth grade. They come into what we now call our discovery camp, which started out as our optics camp. But now it's more of a survey of a bunch of different sciences. They come back the next summer, do the forensic investigation camp, which covers all sorts of stuff. It's, you know, it's archaeology, geology, psychology, chemistry, anything where you're sort of uncovering a story. And then the third year, they come back and do our engineering and computer science camp, where they learn to code and program and do basic electronics, and they build fully functioning pinball machines.
Wow. So are you working to reinforce the things that they're probably learning in science at that point in school, or get a little bit ahead of that maybe?
So we have an interesting different approach. In school, teachers have to, you know, their standards they have to teach to. There's a particular content that they need their kids to learn, so they're a bit constricted by that. We're not. we can change it, and we do. Every year we change up what we do. Those camps keep those themes, but what actually happens in them varies depending on what I'm bored with and what our instructors that year are interested in. Because what Spice Camp is really about is about a process and a way of doing science. So the entire thing is designed around this idea of identity, self-efficacy, and mindsets, and fostering an environment where girls are doing science hands-on with other relatable peers, taught by, you know, relatable near peers, and where we really emphasize the notion that failure is not when our experiment doesn't come out the way we wanted to. Failure is only when we didn't learn anything from it. So we're really trying to provide an environment where they have a chance to build identity through experience and through seeing other people similar to them, you know, succeeding in science, and to provide them this context for failure. Because another thing that research really finds, this is from the research of Carol Dweck, is that girls tend to adopt what's called a fixed mindset towards science, where they feel like if they're not instantly good at it, then they can't be good at it because they don't have that talent. And we're trying to change that, turn it on its head and say, like, no, it's about work. It's all about failure is part of the learning process. And science isn't about innate genius. It's about learning and growing over time.
Sounds some good stuff. We're talking to Brandi Todd, the director of the SPICE program at the University of Oregon, the science program to inspire creativity and excellence. It's for girls. So, yes, we're going to say Spice Girls once in a while here, I guess. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Elena and Ashlyn. Welcome to The Exchange.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, go ahead.
I think it's great that you have this program in place. I went into wildlife biology in my undergrad and became a fisheries biologist. And up until then, I thought that things were pretty equal for men and women, but my experience in fisheries biology showed me that there is still a lot of sexism in the world, and it was a struggle. And I've just experienced a lot of sexism in that field, and it was not a good experience. So I think it's great that you guys are building this program and that you're not just teaching them science, but you're also changing the mindset that people have towards women in science. And I think that's awesome.
All right. Thanks for the talking about your experience, Elena. Appreciate that. So, Brandi, how much do you get frank with the kids about how overloaded the fields are that they're going into with men?
Oh, you know, this is an excellent point that, you know, that we struggle with, because on the one hand, I want to, you know, really create a positive experience for them. But like your caller just said, you know, a lot of women, you get a certain ways through it and everything feels great. And then all of a sudden you get like thrown into the shark infested water and suddenly realize like, oh, this is not great. This is hard and this is challenging. And I feel like explaining to the girls that, like, yes, you know, you're going to be a trailblazer. There are not going to be a lot of women around, you know, to support you, and that you are going to run into problems. So we try to balance, like, letting them know that, hey, you know, it's not going to be easy, but, you know, you have the skills, you are competent, you are able to really build them up. And I'm always so impressed with the girls. Honestly, they are shockingly aware of this, actually. Even the girls who say, like, I don't really notice it in my classes, I feel like I'm treated equally. But then they come back and say things like, you know, but I know that I'm going to have to work extra hard to prove myself. And on the one hand, it makes me like, oh, it makes me so sad. It's like, no, you shouldn't have to work harder. You shouldn't have to be better than everyone else. You should just have to work as hard as everyone else. But they also, they sort of draw strength from when you tell them, like, hey, it's going to be hard. They sort of dig in and they're like, yeah, but I'm, you know, I can handle it. I can do it. And I hear so many stories from women who, you know, who go into the sciences and then become discouraged because they don't feel valued and they don't feel acknowledged. And one key difference there does seem to be that they weren't prepared for it.
So you're making sure that they're aware of what's coming.
Yeah, we're trying to make them aware, but at the same time, you know, still really support them and be positive. So it's a difficult balancing act. It's tricky. And, of course, our program's been going basically in its current form since 2009. So I've got a couple of campers who have gone off to college now, and we're hoping to sort of collect longitudinal data on them to see, like, you know, where are they going, what are they doing, what challenges are they encountering. And the same for our instructors as well, actually.
And are they staying in touch?
Yeah, a lot of them are my Facebook friends.
Oh.
So so I know what's going on with them in that way. Are their parents touch base? Yeah, absolutely.
All right, another call here from Vince in Eugene. Welcome to the exchange with Brandy Todd from the SPICE program at the University of Oregon.
Yes, I'm a retired 30-year career counselor at community colleges, and I was always interested in the young ladies that I counseled. Always seem to be underestimating themselves. I'd have a young lady come to me and say she thought she'd be interested in being a dental hygienist, that she thought it was interesting what her dental hygienist did. I said, well, if you're interested in dental care, why not apply to dental school and try to be a dentist? They said, really? Do you think, you know, women could do that? I was so surprised when, you know, a young lady would say that. Or, you know, the same thing with, I'd have young ladies who are in the nursing school, and I'd say, how's it going? They'd say, it's okay, but it's, you know, it's not really what I wanted to do. I thought I'd, you know, become a doctor, but I don't have the money for medical school or something to that effect. And I'd say, well, what about this new field of physician assistant? You know, you could do a lot more than a nurse does if you become a physician assistant. And they always seem to be underestimating themselves, and I'm wondering if that's because we start talking to young people about work, the world of work, way too late when they're in high school, and that it's much better to do it in elementary school.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Vince. Appreciate that. Which is what you're really doing. I mean, you start talking to these girls just as they emerge from fifth grade, you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about them. One thing that I find over and over again is that a lot of times girls don't even realize that certain things are opportunities. I mean, just like the caller was talking about with, oh, you know, I could be a hygienist, or oh, I could be a nurse, and not thinking, no, I could be a dentist, I could be a doctor, is because they really haven't been presented those models. And, I mean, we as human beings, we are really in tune to our environment and the messages that we get. And when we don't see women in these roles, we don't see ourselves as women in those roles. And it's crazy how often I have a girl come to the camp and, you know, she doesn't really know what she wants to be. I mean, and she's 11, so she doesn't have to. But then at the end of the camp, she's like, I want to be a forensic geological investigator. And, you know, I asked her, like, why? And she's like, well, I never even knew this was an option before. Now that I know it's an option, I think this is just the coolest thing ever. So simply presenting to girls the notion that these are all the things that you can do, that these are viable careers for you as a woman, is incredibly powerful. And it seems ridiculous that it's such a simple thing. But that's one of the reasons why in our first camp, our discovery camp, we just hit a whole bunch of different science things and just introduced them to a whole bunch of different ideas because they haven't heard of them before.
We're talking to Brandy Todd at the University of Oregon about SPICE, for which she is the program director. SPICE is the science program to inspire creativity and excellence. It is for girls. So, yes, SPICE Girls comes up in the conversation a fair amount. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts, comments, questions, perhaps your own experiences in trying to get into a science field, and you're a woman or being on the other side of things as a man. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like when girls show up for SPICE Camp, one of the first things they realize is there are lots of fields out there they never heard of that they could do for a living.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we try to expose them to as wide array as we can. I mean, and it's not just girls, too. I mean, the boys that I work with as well also, you know, they're not aware of a lot of these things. But it seems to be less of a barrier for boys because our sort of cultural social assumption is that everything is default male. So if a career exists, then a boy is not typically going to assume that it's not for him unless it is one that has been female gendered, like nursing, like elementary school teaching. Boys are going to, you know, sort of default assume like, oh, yeah, that's for me, whereas girls are less likely to make that assumption.
Okay, another call here from Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Brandy Todd.
Thank you. I spent 2 years in the Air Force, 1961-63. I was the first woman to graduate from the electronics engineering program, technology program at LCC. That was in 1970. I was the only female in the class, and there were 25 young men. Then I retired in 2003 after being a computer programmer in engineering at the City of Eugene. So having had the life experiences of working and education and all these male-dominated areas, what I've got to say is I never found it a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the only negative I ever got was when I was at LCC, some of the young men saying to me, "Of, don't you realize you'd be taking a job away from a man?" So anyway, I really don't know what these young women are think is going to be so negative, because I never found it to be so.
Okay, thanks for sharing that story, Ann. Good to hear about that, Brandy. So obviously, lots of experiences across the board.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing, is that there are women who do great and succeed in science careers and don't feel like they have particularly much of a problem because of their gender. And my informal observation, and I've confirmed this with other women in the sciences, is that there's a particular kind of woman who is comfortable in that environment. You know, just as there are a lot of girls who are not, there are women who, you know, they're comfortable in that the stereotypes about science don't put them off, because women are all different. That's another thing that my research, I'm not talking about here, but really focuses on, is the notion that trying to approach anything as the notion of girl and boy is just so monolithic and unhelpful, that really it's about the variances between. So there are girls and women who are comfortable in that milieu and do just fine, and that's, you know, they have success and they're great. But they're unique, you know, they're fairly non-standard. Well, that's, I don't want to say that. They're just one of the types of women that there are out there, that they're comfortable with that and can brush off the little casual sexism, you know, you're taking a job away from a man bits, like, okay, Buster, whatever. And I work with these women, you know, I mean, these are women who are, you know, top university professors, and they've succeeded in the field, you know, and that's, so what we're trying to do is make it more open to girls and women who aren't like that.
A couple seconds left here. You have another workshop on how to win science fair coming up, at the Springfield Public Library on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday, 11 to 2 p.m. at Springfield Public Library. We're going to teach folks how to put together a science fair project.
Okay, you're not terrified of kids anymore, are you?
Nope. I secured one of my own, and I hang out with them all summer, so I actually quite enjoy them now.
All right, we enjoyed the chat with you. Brandy Todd is the director of the SPICE program, the science program to inspire creativity and excellence. Brandy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Take care.